In the account known as The Adventure of the Three Students, I wrote that in the spring of 1895, a combination of events into which I need not enter caused Mr. Sherlock Holmes and myself to spend some weeks in one of our great university towns. I realize that, with those few words, I may have sounded entirely dismissive of the circumstances that brought us to that place, as though the matter were of minor consequence. I also somewhat mendaciously described Holmes as pursuing some laborious researches in early English charters at this unnamed seat of learning. That was, I confess now, misdirection. He was doing anything but. The truth is that, at the time, I felt obliged to skate over what was one of the most challenging and intriguing investigations my friend undertook, not to mention one of the most hazardous. The Three Students case was merely a light diverting interlude in a much darker and stranger symphony whose nature I was not prepared to divulge when the story appeared in The Strand in 1904. Now, however, nearly a quarter of a century on from the story's publication, I am ready to tackle the entirety of the affair in narrative form with as much frankness and honesty as I can muster. I'm older, and the passage of years has given me perspective and distance. Besides, I very much doubt I shall submit this account to my publishers and thus offer it for general consumption. It is likely that it will add to the burgeoning number of manuscripts languishing in the tin dispatch box which I keep in the vaults at Cox and Company Bank at Charing Cross. The university town in question, then, was Oxford, and it is not without good reason that I was reticent about the months Holmes and I spent there during and after Hilary term of 95. For what transpired in the city of dreaming spires, to borrow Matthew Arnold's coinage from his poem Thyrsus, brought us face to face with one of the strangest and most singular manifestations of evil we have ever encountered, and the world is better off not knowing the full facts. Not only that, but so strenuous and punishing were the events involved that my companion was driven to breaking point, and indeed very nearly was broken. The same goes for our friendship, which was tested to its limits. These are not events which it pleases me to recall. Much has been written about Charles Babbage and his remarkable steam-powered mechanical computers and calculating machines. Somewhat less is known about Professor Malcolm Quantock and his thinking engine, a device that seemed to possess the soul and intellect of a man. John H. Watson, M.D., retired, 1927.